The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Turn with me now to the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, the book of Isaiah, chapter 54. There is indeed a word from the Lord. Isaiah, the 54th chapter, I'm going to read verse 17. I'm going to ask, please, ma'am, and please, sir, wherever you might be, if you are physically able to stand, if you would please do so. I want to encourage you, like I always do, to keep your Bibles open on your app or whatever you might be doing. The reason why we stand for the reading of the word is that scripture, that's biblical. Nehemiah 8 and 5, I always want to give that for, just in case somebody might be new listening to us. Says that Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Isaiah 54, 17. Some of y'all probably already anticipated what the scripture was going to be about because you were already telling the Lord, thank you. Come on, somebody. But as Isaiah 54, verse 17, in the Amplified Bible, it says that no weapon that is formed against you will succeed. I know the King James, the New King James Version says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I believe if you're reading from the NIV, it says that no weapon that is formed against you will prevail. But then the rest of that verse in Amplify says, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. This peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me, says the Lord. Listen, listen, listen. I could hear it coming out in the song. Because on this third Sunday of November, November the 15th, 2020, I mean, think about it. We're almost 2 weeks past the presidential election, which underscored some deep, deep divisions in our country. But after a contentious campaign and historical outcome, the country has indeed made its choice in both a landslide electoral college and popular vote. Yet despite federal election infrastructure officials from the Homeland Security stating in a joint statement just this past Thursday, as a matter of fact, that this year's election, the 2020 election, was the most secure in American history. Yet despite all that, the current administration is delving in tactics, shenanigans, denying defeat, claiming fraud, and using government machinery to wage a baseless election fight to try to reverse the election results. In the meantime, the COVID-19 virus is spreading rampantly throughout the country, with more than 100,000 reported cases every day. Hospitalizations and deaths are rising. And because of the number of cases, hospitalizations and the deaths will continue to rise until we rigorously adhere to some sort of public health prevention. But then there's also the need for our Congress to come together in this lame duck session in some sort of bipartisan way to pass some sort of bill, come on somebody, that provides some resources to fight this COVID-19 pandemic, relief for some families, small businesses, support for state and local government, some monies just to try to keep frontline workers on the payroll and actually expand some unemployment. But those are larger issues. Then there's just the day-to-day stuff that we have to deal with. There's a whole lot that we got to pray about. There's a whole lot we're trying to manage. and we're trying to squeeze out a thank you. But let me remind you of what the scripture says. No weapon that is formed against you will succeed in every tongue. Because you know some folk been talking. Come on, somebody. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. This peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me, says the Lord. So with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject. The enemy never has the final word or say so. Come on, somebody. Amen, amen, and amen. Let us pray that prayer solidarity to when we come, because even as the Holy Spirit speaks, we want to be able to receive what God has just for us. So repeat this prayer after me. Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I may receive all that you have for me. That is for me, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. The enemy never has the final word or say so. Now, believe it or not, that term say so, if you look that term up in the dictionary, the Merriam-Webster dictionary defines say so as the right of decision. It's authority. It's an authoritative pronouncement. It's the authority to make a final decision. Listen, my brothers and my sisters, no one, and I mean no one, gets to where God wants them to be without a fight. If you are going to reach your destiny, fulfill your goals or your dreams, come to the place where God is calling you. My brothers and my sisters, you've got to understand that that means that you are in for a fight. But I want to remind some and tell some others that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it sounds like, even if it doesn't feel, sound, or look very good, you need to know that the enemy, come on somebody, never has the final word or say so. In other words, he doesn't have the right of decision. He doesn't have the authority. He doesn't have the authoritative pronouncement. He does not have the authority to make a final decision. Do me a favor and tell somebody never. Come on somebody. Tell them online. Tell them never. Yeah. You see, I've lived just long enough to appreciate the fact that anytime that you are trying to get to a new place, you are trying to get to a new level in your life, the enemy is going to come against you. Now, you will have a tendency to, or an instinct sometimes, to try to hold on then to everything you can. But let me tell you something right here. You cannot fill your hands with the new if your hands are still occupied with the old. See, I just said something right there. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again, because there are some things that you're going to have to learn, especially now. There's some stuff that you need to let go of. Say it again. I said, you cannot fill your hands with the new if your hands are still occupied with the old. There's some stuff, or there's some things, maybe some people, you're going to just have to let go of. Lord, help me to stand tall. Here in chapter 54 of Isaiah, the Israelites are being wonderfully, believe it or not, persuaded by God after a bitter exile to recover themselves psychologically from some debilitating influence of their experiences. Listen, I don't know if you have or have not experienced any real battles, but the one thing I've learned about battles is that you can never go into a battle without coming out with some scars. And here it is, that God is endeavoring to overcome their sense of perception with faith because of the tense and the alarming battles that they fought while they were in exile. I hope you didn't close your Bible. Watch this. Flip back to chapter 52 of Isaiah. Flip back to chapter 52 of Isaiah. Look at verses 1 and 2. I want to show you something. I want you to listen to what the Lord declares. Isaiah 52, 1 and 2, it says, "Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you." Verse 2 says, "Shake yourself from the dust. Arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion." Listen, they have a battle because they were being completely controlled and overrun by nations that did not worship the Lord their God. And then if you look over in chapter 53, verse 1, the prophet is crying out to them, and he asks them a question. He says, "Who will believe our report?" And you sense then that the Lord is doing his best to arouse the faith within his people again. I'm talking to somebody. Because sometimes when your faith or your expectation has been hurt, it's not easy to just wake up and charge forward again. Huh? Something has to change within your mind. Something has to change psychology or within your mind or in your thought process. But the greatest challenge seems to be right here in chapter 54. Because it's here where the Lord is desiring to revive the children of Israel and to bring them again back to a place of power. But like I said before, if anybody is going to get anywhere in terms of advancing forward toward their God-given destiny or destination, they must understand that they will inevitably encounter some battles. And coming out of Egypt was the first battle that God's people, the Israelites, encountered. Listen, I just said something there that I don't want you to miss. I said that coming out of Egypt was the first battle that God's people, the Israelites, encountered. Then what am I trying to say, Miss Monique? Listen, if you're taking notes, write this down. If somebody is going to come into tomorrow's blessings, they must first come out of today's curse. If somebody, I don't know who I'm talking to, but if someone is going to come into tomorrow's blessing, they first got to come out of today's curse. You see, if you are going to walk in the victory that God has established for those who walk uprightly before him, then guess what? Especially in these days and times, you're going to have to walk boldly. And you're going to have to be willing to shake some stuff off, to shake some things off, even some people. Listen, you're going to have to break loose from the shackles of the present. And it's critical to see that the children of Israel had a battle. They had to battle their way out of Egypt. They had to fight just to get to the place of blessing. And it's essential to understand that overcoming obstacles is essential to getting to the place of blessing. Listen again, if you're taking notes, write this down. There's always something or someone else in the way. And so, for those of you who have signed up for this Christian life, and you didn't think that you had to fight, I'm going to give you notice today. I need to put somebody on notice that for you to move to the next level, for you to get to the place of spiritual peace, the place of emotional peace, the place of joy, maybe even some financial blessings and even some psychological good health, because some of us are losing it these days, then guess what? You're going to have to fight. But make sure you know who your fight is against. Remember, I've said it before and I said it again. We said it last week. You need to remember and know who the enemy is. And the enemy still delves in deception. It's critical because not only do you have to fight, but you're going to have to press your way before your miracle. See, the woman with the issue of blood, she had to press her way in order to get her breakthrough. You're going to have to expect to need before your deliverance comes, because only hungry and thirsty folk afield. How do I know? It's in Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And listen, the battles are not always the ones that you know are coming. Come on, somebody. It would be nice if we knew about all the battles that were on the way. No, there are going to be some battles that come upon you simply in an ambush. Come on, somebody. They're going to ambush you along the way. Listen, I remember from my study that Israel had to face the Amalekites. When you have time, read Exodus chapter 17, starting at verse 8. The Israelites had to face the Amalekites and the ambush that they threw their way. Listen, sometimes you have got to fight, or you might have to fight, where you least expect it. When you think it's all together, and when you think everything is fixed and going right, it's then there are going to be some issues that always seem to come up that you have to deal with, and you thought you had already dealt with it. Then you recall that the children of Israel had to battle in Canaan. Listen, don't miss that. They had to battle in the very place that God had promised. Listen, that's chronicled pretty much through the entire book of Joshua. Again, when you have time, I mean, think about it. All the way from Joshua 1 through Joshua chapter 24. The land that God would hand over to them, the land that they would conquer for themselves. But even in Canaan, the children of Israel had to fight. And they had to fight all kinds of folk. They had to fight the Hittites, the Jebusites. Read Joshua 3. Then they had to fight the Philistines, the Moabites. They were always fighting. But not only do you have to fight to get your blessing, listen, you're going to have to fight to keep your blessing. Why? Because, again, you got to know who the enemy is. The enemy is not your neighbors. They're not the opposite side of your political preference. Come on, somebody. They are not somebody who does not look like you. Your enemy is the devil, and unfortunately, he has deceived and duped so many folk that we got infighting. That's why churches are falling apart. Our communities are falling apart. Homes are falling apart. Families are falling apart and falling out. And the devil is sitting there laughing at us because he's got us focused on the wrong stuff out of deception. But you best believe, when God is looking to move you along, to break you away from some of this foolishness and mess, the devil ain't just sitting around here desiring that you have anything that God has designed and desired for you to have. So whenever the devil senses that the anointing that God has on your life and that God is ready to move you to another level, that he's getting ready to lift you up, that God is getting ready to move some things out of your way, then you best get ready to fight. But I got to teach the whole thing. Because not only that they have to fight outside battles, they had to fight the battle that rages and raged on the inside. They had to struggle within themselves. In other words, they had to fight within themselves. That's why I thought about the song. They had to fight within themselves to give God the praise that was due to his name, even when things weren't going their way. Even maybe having to deal with an unplanned or unfortunate setback. Maybe even having to deal with some bad news. And while there might have been some days when they were in their feelings, come on, somebody, you need to know that God is still worthy of praise. But can I tell you something else? Not only, Jesus, not only did they have to fight stuff on the outside, and not only did they have to fight about some stuff raging on the inside, watch this, they also, watch this, had to fight to not become like the folk that they had conquered. I mean, they had to fight not to become like the folk who were around them, because sometimes when God moves you to another level, instead of remembering why or how he did what he did for you, you try to act like somebody that you're really not. Oftentimes, it's not your failures that gives you the biggest trouble. Sometimes it's your successes that give you more trouble than your failures ever gave you. They had to fight, Sister Stephanie, within themselves because they had isolated God and they wouldn't worship him, nor would they serve him as they should. That's why we got to be careful even when we come up against somebody. Is our coming up against somebody because we're defending our own honor, or are we defending the honor of God? The Bible says contend for the faith, not contend for all this stuff in your feelings that you feel all fake about. Listen, because they would not worship or serve God. And that's what God fears the most. God isn't wrapped up in no election. He's wrapped up in how we are electing to conduct ourselves. He's wrapped up into how we are electing to who we are serving. Come on, somebody. And because the people would not worship God, even when it comes to the stuff that we have, the Bible talks about a period where God withdrew himself from them. Text illustrates, chronicles how frustrating they had to be. But be careful of your actions and acting out of frustration. Because what happened was the children of Israel moved into compromise. They allowed the other nations and what the other nations seemed to have to compromise their standards towards God. Listen, don't allow other people to seep in and to pull you away from the things that please God. Listen, I don't care how big you get. I don't care how much you think you got it going on. Don't you ever forget to worship the God that brought you out, that brought you over, and that brought you through. Don't you ever forget to learn how to throw up your hands, to lift up and to open up your mouth to tell the Lord, thank you. Don't you ever stop praying. Don't you ever stop meditating on his word. Don't you ever stop mentioning or lifting up the name of the Most High God. I don't care how powerful you get. You give God the praise that he's doing his name. I don't care how much juice you think you have. You better know this, that if God steps back even for a moment, the devil will step in and waste you and everything you have that God has given you. The children of Israel were making alliances with other nations that had rejected God. God was teaching them. He says, I'm the one that you need. I'm the one that will give you victory. I'm the one that you should seek. But Israel ignored not just God, they ignored the prophets, they ignored the voice of God, and they made alliances with their enemies. And they ended up back in captivity again. They didn't have to go back to Egypt, but because they minimized God, the God of glory, and maximize themselves, God separated himself from them and they fell captive to the Babylonians. But here's what happened. The enemy on the inside of them has proven to be probably the greatest source of their undoing. Be careful blaming all your failures on everything and everybody else. If you really study the children of Israel in the text, the enemy on the inside of them actually proved to be the source, the greatest source of their undoing. What are you talking about, Pastor King? I'm talking about false pride. The false pride had given them over to Babylon, their invader. Listen, they were once prosperous and powerful. Now they are beaten, battered, and bruised by the enemy, watch this, that has gotten in because their hard hearts had angered God and drove him away. Before I close, there's some quick points I want to show you here and highlight in chapter 54. I know most people only quote verse 17, but verse 17 doesn't have its meaning until you understand what happened before. So a couple of things I want to show you here is this. First of all, I don't have time for everything, but if you're taking notes, I want you to note, first of all, Israel's disgrace. But then you need to know that in spite of that, Israel was still prosper. In verses 1 through 3, in Israel, a barren woman was disgraced. For childhood aided in family chores and helped the parents out in her old age, Israel illustratively was like a woman who had no children and was therefore in a continual state of mourning. But look at the text, because God's sovereignty and grace that enables her to have many children so she will break into song and shout for joy. Then I want you to look at Israel's regathering in verses 4 through 8. The nation needed not to fear being ashamed or disgraced. Am I in the Bible? For she will no longer be desolate and helpless like a widow. As a matter of fact, the text teaches us illustratively, remember, this is Old Testament, it's Hebrew. Hebrew is a language of pictures. And so it says God, like a husband, would take Israel back his wife. She was unfaithful and had backslidden, but that could not break God's love and commitment to her. That should speak to somebody. And then finally, I want you to see Israel's security. And that's what verse 17 is about. In other words, what God is saying to Israel is that no nation will be allowed to defeat Israel because the Lord had decreed. Nations will rise and fall on the basis of God's word. And in the past, he had allowed the destroyer or Babylon to overcome his people, but he was letting them know that is not going to happen again. He's saying peace, safety, and security are the heritage of those who trust in the Lord. And if you are a child of God, this also applies to you. Listen, if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus the Christ, then you need to understand that no weapon, come on somebody, no weapon that comes against you will prosper. As I get ready to close, I want you to see the heart of God. Israel got cocky, but God confronted them. Israel got weak, but God showed up strong. Israel's spirit was devastated, but God brought revival. That's what happens when you trust in our King. You see, the God that we serve, he's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. He's the gateway of glory. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy, and his burdens are light. And just as the text declares, you and I have made some choices that we wish we hadn't made. But the enemy did not have the final word or say so. Why? Because God, come on somebody, never gave up on us. And so now, that those of us who can claim to be saved by the blood of the Lamb, now that he has redeemed us, now that he has made a way out of no way, we can now say with assurance and confidence, the enemy never has the final word or say so. Never has the right of decision. Never has the authority and authoritative pronouncement, the authority to make a final decision. Tell somebody never. So I'm talking to somebody who needs to declare as a child of God. You need to declare right now, as a result of what God has said, I'm breaking out of my despair. For somebody else, you need to say, I'm breaking out of my depression. Somebody else, you need to say, I'm breaking out of my poverty. Somebody else, I'm breaking out of my sickness. For somebody, I'm breaking out of my darkness. I'm breaking out of my fear. Why? Because no weapon that is formed against you will succeed. In every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. This peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication. You don't need other folk to vindicate you. You don't need other folk to like you. You don't need other folk to say that they care about you. This is the vindication of the Lord. So, what then should be your response? My response to that verse? I'll tell you. It's Romans 8 and 31. What then? I need some Bible readers. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? The enemy never has the final word or say so. To God be the glory. To God be the praise.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.